The Ramen Noodle is produced and sponsored by D. Joseph Design, which is my company. No, wait, that's not how I start off. It's been 2 weeks. You know, what do you expect?
You were gone for like a month before that.
Yeah, so I'm totally out of... What is this thing we do? What's a podcast? I should go listen to the Audacity to Podcast to learn how to podcast.
Oh, that guy's a schmuck. What?
He listens to the show, you know.
He also insults his mother.
Well, no, that was something else.
Like, oh, that was the ramen noodle.
The Ramen Noodle is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network over at noodle.mx and is sponsored by me and my company, D. Joseph Design, from djosephdesign.com, where you can get website design, presentation design, web hosting, podcast production, social media consulting services, a sixth finger, and all sorts of cool things from D. Joseph Design. Check out my portfolio there and see how I can help you. You have a message that deserves to look great. So make your next message look or sound great by hiring me. Check out my portfolio, D. Joseph Design, and contact me for work. The Ramen Noodle is also brought to you by some other real sponsors, beachout.com and pickanexcuse.com. I'll mention those a little bit more later. But the Ramen Noodle is also brought to you by
fakesponsors.com. Want to make your podcast sound more prestigious, but can't find anyone willing to actually give you money? Fakesponsors.com can help. For just $39.99 per month, we'll create fake sponsors tailored to your audience. Visit fakesponsors.com today.
Funny. And let's see. The music this week is going to be... I need a beat. Give me a beat. It's time for the Ramen Noodle, episode 51. And that is where the theme song is supposed to go. If you want to help with our theme song by producing, not producing, we've got the theme song made, but if you want to help by singing the theme song, contact us, feedback@noodle.mx. And I'll send you the music parts that you can sing and record in a high-quality recording. And then we'll all put it together. It's going to be like a crowdsourced song. So anyway.
I have a tic-tac shaker.
And you know how to use it?
Not nice. Really.
Welcome back to another episode of The Ramen Noodle. I'm your host, The Ramen Noodle, also known as Daniel Lewis. Joining me in the studio is my unlovely co-host, Jeremy Laughlin, also known as Flegon.
Hi.
Hi. And joining us live in the studio is my absolutely beautiful, gorgeous, stunning, darling wife, Jenny.
Hi.
That was like a moment of truth there where people were wondering, is he really married?
Yeah. I'm like, just go with it, people. There's no one there, but he doesn't know that. In retrospect, the fact that you used to call me for a little while your lovely co-host, and now you don't.
Sorry. I'm bumping stuff.
It kind of makes me glad that you got married when you did.
Yeah, you didn't like being called
now lovely. Now you can see the truth. Because, yeah.
The truth that is because that you are no
Jenny's
longer
here.
You are no longer lovely.
When I was all you had to look at, I guess you just started calling me lovely. I don't know.
I was desperate. Well, not desperate. I did well. In fact, you know what? James from
I wasn't pathetic.
You know what, James from Nobody's Listening, the late Nobody's Listening, and Explicit Answers.
The late
says?
James. I mean, what?
Yeah, he was podcasting and then he died, so he decided to end the show.
Right, and then start another one.
Yeah. He says that I married up, and I definitely agree.
True.
I married, like, way up.
What's his name again?
James.
Thank you, James.
I thank you, my co-host thanks you, my wife thanks you, and my mother thanks you. And I thank you again.
Your mom thanks him.
Oh, I said that.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Okay, let's get this show moving with some regular things. Back to like regular segments like we used to do. I beat you, huh?
Your mom beat you.
And I turned out all the better for it.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. These past 2 weeks, not this, just this past week.
Two weeks.
Yes. But these past 2 weeks, we've had some fun times and some funny things have happened recently. Yes. So I will be the one to start off explaining something funny that happened. I discovered something recently, and Jeremy, you're going to be a little disturbed by this.
Oh, crap.
Well, for a while, I'm known for making really good burgers. Like, they're really good, right? You like the
Am
burgers.
Am I going to just, like, throw up years past meals?
You might, if it's still in your stomach, which I didn't feed you burgers made out of gum, so it shouldn't still be in your stomach.
Because every piece of gum that you've swallowed in the last 7 years is definitely still there.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Just piling up and collecting and all of that, sticking on the sides and stuff. So these burgers that I make, and everybody loves them. Everyone that's come over has said, oh, these burgers are the best burgers I've ever had in the entire world in my entire life. Oh, I'm just going to die from these burgers. They're so good.
They do say that, even when you serve stir fry.
Yeah. Yeah, they say, your stir fry is terrible. Can you make burgers instead?
No, they just say they love your burgers.
Well, I've noticed a problem coming up in the last couple years or year or so of making the burgers.
They didn't wash very well?
I would only if the meat turned bad. I would notice that when I would reheat the burgers, that some of the spices on the inside, like I'd reheat it in the microwave, and some of the spices on the inside, I guess, would get fried by the radiation. Because I put a lot of spices in my burgers. That's what makes them good. I have a secret recipe that I got from a dead guy. Well, he's dead now, but he wasn't dead when he gave it to me.
What was he doing when he died? Eating something with those seasonings?
I fed him a burger. So I started playing with settings on the microwave, trying to figure out what's the optimal setting on the microwave to reheat this burger so that it doesn't crystallize the spices on the inside of the burger.
You cook them on the barbecue, not...
Well, yeah, originally when I grill them, I barbecue them on the grill or grill them on the barbecue, whatever you want to say, grill them on the grill. I make them outside with fire. Yeah, fire. And then when I reheat them in the microwave, like all Americans
Radiation.
Do.
Radiation.
Yeah.
I mean, microwave.
So delicious. Well, Winnie from Belgium, who's in our chat room, which, by the way, our live chat room is now 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, Monday nights, no longer 8 o'clock, it's 7 o'clock. But Winnie, out here in America, when we actually don't stuff all of the food in our faces... like so many of us out here in America do, and we manage to keep our leftovers like some of us poor people try to do sometimes, us poor podcasters, we get leftovers, and so we don't like eating cold burgers, do we?
No.
No. Jeremy must like cold burgers.
Burgers? Burgers. Let's be careful.
That's with two W's in the middle. Burgers.
I like burgers all the time.
Yeah, burgers all the time.
I prefer them fresh, but you know.
So... The settings, I played with them and all of this to try and figure out how can I reheat these burgers in a way that it doesn't crystallize the spices on the inside and make it kind of grainy like this. And this recent time, I grilled burgers for Jenny and I, and Jenny made some comment on like a sand texture in certain bits. Like she would bite down and feel like a grain of sand or something.
It was gritty.
And I started to wonder about that. So the next time I went to grill burgers, which was this last week, I discovered what it was.
Share.
Apparently, it's important to clean a grill.
It is.
Apparently. Because if you don't, then not only does that grease stay there, which, I mean, that seems fine. It adds flavor to the next burger. But also, it could rust on the grate over the grill.
Rust.
And sometimes when you are cooking, when one cooks a burger on top of said grill that may or may not be rusty, and one uses a metal spatula to flip one's burgers on said grill by one, sometimes said rust from said grill gets into said burgers of the said one who is said grilling.
Said unlovely co-host is going to die at the hands of said ramen noodles cooking.
So, how long ago have you had a tetanus shot? You might want to get one.
Well,
rust is bad if it gets in your blood, but is rust bad if you consume it?
Well, we haven't died yet.
That's good.
Oh, man. Pom pom. Homestar reference. Dang it. I've been eating Rust burgers.
That's what I should call them.
Yeah?
Tony in the chat room says, that was how they became the Dead Man Burgers.
Yeah. Dead Man Burgers. Well, all right.
What have you got, Jeremy?
What have I got? I've got nothing.
I've had to write that in the show notes. Do you ever read the show notes, by the way?
I do sometimes.
Yeah, I hide things in there.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh.
Like last week, I did a play on words.
Great.
That made it sound like we were married in the bathroom. Not you and I.
I was debating asking what you meant. Wait
a minute. Awkward. Oh, gosh.
Well,
she's going to go get you some Rust burgers and reheat them.
I think so.
That's not too far from the truth when we get to the story in a minute.
Huh?
What?
You weren't there?
Apparently not.
Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. So you seriously have nothing.
If I do, I'll think of it later.
Okay.
It's like when you're at a restaurant and you can't make up your mind and you tell the waitress to take everybody else's order first and you'll have something by the time she gets back to you. Jenny can go first.
Okay. All right, hon. What'd you like to eat? I mean, go ahead, Jenny.
What am I supposed to say?
Something funny that has happened within this last week.
Perhaps coffee related.
Or a couple weeks.
Yeah. It's not really funny.
Oh.
I just stopped drinking coffee is all.
And it makes me really sad.
Yeah. I was sitting over my cup of peppermint. What was in it? Vanilla peppermint latte.
Yeah. Yes.
And I just decided I don't like coffee anymore.
Well, that's because it was vanilla and peppermint.
No.
Because, you know what she ordered right after that? And actually, they gave her a free replacement drink since she didn't like that. Tell them what you ordered right after that and that you loved.
I went up to the counter and I said, this isn't very good. Can I have something else? And yeah, they were like, yeah. And then I asked them if they'd give me for free. And they said, yeah. So I got a peppermint vanilla frappuccino.
Without coffee.
Without coffee.
I was going to say, yeah. I was like,
you don't have any coffee.
Forgive me for asking. But
that look on your face. But it was much better than the latte because it didn't have any coffee in it.
So it wasn't the vanilla warning.
Nor the peppermint.
No, it was the coffee.
Okay. For now.
Those frappuccinos, though, without the coffee are really good.
Without the coffee.
Yeah, what's really good, though, is taking the cappuccino powder at home, like mm-hmm. that you can get at the stores, and just mix that with milk and blend it with ice, and then you get a frappuccino at home.
Or you can put it on top of your ice cream. That's really good.
Ooh, well, yeah. That might be acceptable.
Might be acceptable.
Oh, I just remembered my story.
Okay, okay.
I was looking at my calendar. It's not really funny.
All right, huh?
You guys might think it's funny.
What you want to order?
Look, you're not getting a very big tip. Just because you're apparently smacking for no good reason while you take my order.
I'm chewing gum.
I think you're chewing my food. Oh. Anyway. So, this was my
first... If you were a bird, your mom would chew your food.
Oh, that's gross.
Your mom's a bird.
No, she's not on Twitter.
2009 was my first year to have self-employment taxes to file. So, of course, they were due April 15th of this year. And I took the extension because... Wow. Around that time, I realized, hey, I didn't understand these as well as I thought I did. So you would think 6 months would be plenty of time to get all the information and put the return together and all of that. Well, I am a major tax procrastinator. And I had a book to read, and it wasn't very long, but it took me forever to read it.
And when you opened it, there was a little dude right where there should have been a page?
No, and no, oh. Don't sing that. Anyway, wow. Taxes are kind of like that. But you've totally derailed me. My mind is now in a loop. And yeah.
The tax book.
So I finished it very close to the deadline for the taxes. And I started putting my return together. I got bogged down on a couple of issues that took a long time to figure out. It ended up being tax day, which for me was October 15th. And I got to this strange spot that because of my taxes, and I won't go into all the whys, as I put in business deductions, my refund, I'm using TurboTax, so it's keeping track as I go, my refund starts going down as I take business deductions, which it took a while to figure out why. I finally did, and it made sense. And then I found out that apparently you really do have to do your best to take them all, even if it's lowering your refund. I'm scrambling to pull all my deductions together. I've had 6 extra months to do my taxes, and I e-filed 1 minute late.
Oh, man.
It was not pleasant. So hopefully they'll overlook that 1 minute.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, that deadline was 11:59 p.m. Pacific on October 15th.
So you did it at 3 a.m. Eastern.
Yes.
Did they say PST or PDT?
I believe they said PDT.
Oh, bummer. Because I thought maybe if they put PST, then you could have a case there for saying, look, that means standard time and we're in daylight saving time right now.
True. I could. I probably wouldn't argue with the government on such things. And it wasn't the government that said it. It was Intuit.
So next week when Jeremy is arrested for tax fraud, we're going to have a really funny story to tell then.
It would be a late payment fine at worst.
Oh, okay. No guns?
I was excruciatingly honest as I lowered my refund amount. So, yeah, so it's not funny to me, but hopefully someone gets some amusement out of me taking just 1 minute longer. I just needed a 6 month and 1 minute extension instead of a 6 month extension, apparently.
So, you know what you need?
What do I need?
You need a good excuse. Like when they come knocking on your door, busting down your door, you're going to need a good excuse. And you know what? You have an iPhone.
I do. Which, I mean, I do.
Yeah. This is.
I don't know why that came out as a question, but I do.
So, you know what? This is awesome. We've got a sponsor this week that this is the part of the show where I share certain sponsors that they're sponsoring this episode of the Ramen Noodle. It's not a regular sponsorship, unless they want to be, because they would be fun regular sponsorship. Get this. There is an iPhone app that when you install it, There's an iPhone app that when you install it, you can browse the app and pick excuses from the app depending on your circumstance. And it gives you an excuse. Do you want to know the address of this awesome application?
I do indeed.
It's okay. Thanks for the sponsorship commercial thing.
Picksponsors.com.
Pickanexcuse.com. Pickanexcuse.com. That's PickanExcuse.com. Pickanexcuse.com is an app for iPhone, and I assume they'll probably come out with an Android, or maybe they already have one. Can't remember. But it's just a brilliant site where they've got all of these excuses that you could use. And so when people come busting down your door, you could quickly grab your iPhone, load up pickanexcuse.com.
Picnic?
Picnicexcuse.com. Excuses for having a picnic. And
uses for your picnic.
Here's let me just give you an example of an excuse you could use. I wouldn't want my jealous girlfriend to see us together. She can get a little psycho. Use that when the tax guy breaks down your
door. I'll bet she's jealous since you just got married.
Or if it's on a Monday when...
I didn't think about that.
If it's a Monday when the tax person breaks down your door and tries to get you to like give up your life for your taxes, you could say, seriously, I'm allergic to Mondays. Or you could say, it's not me, it's you.
Are there any related to others' mothers?
There might be. The app is cool. You can submit your own excuses in there. You can search for excuses. Like, let me see. Mother. that was a swear word. Okay. Here's one. It says, I'm sorry. I don't think my mother would approve of you. Oh, no. Here's one.
I would say good one, but no.
I can't serve jury duty or whatever you're saying. I can't pay my taxes. I am a single mother of 10.
I will use that one.
Okay, you go ahead. So if you guys want, I'm giving them like a lot of time on this app.
Yeah,
but
you
I just love this. Then they should be a regular sponsor. But it's pickanexcuse.com. Pickanexcuse.com. Download the iPhone app and Android app. It's fun.
I'm going to go back and count the number of times you said their URL.
Yeah. Well, you know what else is cool?
What
is it's
cool?
Going to totally revolutionize how you experience social media.
Really?
Yes.
I am excited.
Well, you know what you should do, dude?
What, dude?
You should beach out.
So two sponsors back to back.
Yeah, two sponsors.
Fakesponsors.com is really outdoing themselves.
The Ramen Noodle episode 51 is also brought to you by BeachOut.com. BeachOut is a social networking site which seeks to totally revolutionize how you interact with social media. They're going to make it a fun experience. Sometimes some of these social media clients are so boring and bland and yucky and owlish and stuff.
They might sponsor. I mean, you didn't reference anyone specific.
No, I didn't. I meant like owlish, like you hurt yourself, stub yourself on the toe. Not so with Beach Out, because you know what? There aren't things on the beach that you could stub your toe on. A good
That's
beach,
not true.
That is. And beachout.com is a good beach. You should check it out. Beachout.com. And like totally revolutionize how you interact with social media. And it'll be like a beach party for you next time you interact with social media. They are launching soon. So get signed up and get in early for the beta. It'll be cool. Beachout.com. Thank you guys for sponsoring us.
But I think you could actually say beachout.com.
Beachout?
Yeah. I think that's where I'm going to choose to separate the words in the URL. Perhaps.
True. You probably could say that. Well, if you, our listeners, are interested in sponsoring a show, this is an idea I got from another podcaster, yes. But if you're interested in sponsoring the show and sharing a quick message or having us promote your blog or podcast or something, email us feedback@noodle.mx. That's feedback@noodle.mx. And we will include that in the show. Speaking of feedback from feedback.noodle.mx, we got feedback sent to feedback@noodle.mx.
Dude, really?
Yeah. And Jenny?
Yeah.
This one's for you, too. This one's for you! I made this for you.
Dude, that is so cool of you.
Hello. Hello. Is this thing on? Can you hear me? Yeah.
No.
I'm trying to get in touch with the Roma noodle.
Strike one.
Roma noodle? Roma noodle? I don't know. Did you wear a kilt? Okay. Anyway. This is S.P. Dorning, author of Stars of the Conry. And I heard you recently got married. Wanted to give you my congratulate you. Yeah, sorry about that. Slipped of the tongue. Tell you, I really enjoyed the show, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, SP. Even though your spelling was kind of, or pronunciation is a bit. So thanks for the congratulations. What was that be here for?
Dude. Like, if you wonder why I'm talking like this, it's because I'm still on beachout.com.
Well, you know what else? Maybe I should have you read.
I'm hanging this. Out on Beach Out and like, dude.
You're beaching out at beachout.com. Ooh, that's what I should do if they sponsor us again.
Okay, I closed the tab, so I'm done talking like that.
Okay. Someone sent us in an email. This is McGinnis. I think it's McGinnis. She's a 12-year-old girl from Australia. So who can do the best Australian accent here? Okay, no volunteers.
It's offensive, probably.
Yeah. So maybe I should pretend to do like James's middle schooler voice.
Just do that southern accent that you do so poorly.
Hi, Flegon and Daniel. I was trying to prove to my dad that if I stood on the rake, it wouldn't hit my face because the handle was slightly crooked. I was wrong. Bruise number one. About 6 months later, last week, I was at a place called Infinity.
Oh, wait,
how do you visit Infinity?
Let's show you.
Can you ever come back from Infinity?
Nope. I mean, what? I mean, go on.
The room I was in had mirrors for the floor, walls, and roof. The lights flashed on and off, and lasers created a star-like effect. After playing for a while, I tried to find the exit. I forgot to keep my hands in front of me. And I walked full pelt into a mirror. Yes, I am either clumsy or just plain stupid. McGinnis. You know what? I would agree. She's either clumsy or stupid.
Just was like, huh, that person looks just like me. He's walking right toward me. I think we might run into each other. Ow!
Yeah. The best way to get out is walk toward the spot where you're not walking toward yourself. Wait, that didn't come out as clearly as I thought it would. If you see yourself walking toward yourself, you're going the wrong direction.
Or actually, you're just going toward a mirror, which may be the right direction.
And then so you should do a 360 and then get out of there.
No, you should.
Thank you, McGinnis and SP, for your feedback. If you guys want to share feedback with us, tell us funny stories, share some ramen noodle experiences, which is where you felt like an amateur at life, you can send that to feedback@noodle.mx. That's feedback@noodle.mx, or call in to 859-353-4332, or leave a comment on the show notes over at theramennoodle.com/51. And Faye in the chat room says that Infinity is an amusement park that never ends.
Can you spell the name of the person that sent in that message?
McGinnis.
Oh, okay.
McGinnis, I think.
Oh, I thought you were saying McGinnis.
I said that one time.
Oh,
but I corrected myself and said McGinnis.
I think it might be McGinnis.
I tried to write it, but I couldn't write it fast enough.
Yeah, we heard this.
I was like, what was that?
One other thing I'll do that later. That'll be, later.
You can't leave us hanging that way. Man.
Well, speaking of hanging, let's get into
the murder segment. because murder is funny, but not at all, really. That was morbid.
Yes, that was rather
speaking morbid. Of hanging, Jeremy, let's go over to the door frame.
Yeah, you know what I forgot to do?
If you say record, oh.
I forgot to play that.
Ring, ring, hello? Ring, ring, hello? Ring, ring, hello? Ring, ring, hello?
You have a bad connection.
There. It was kind of like, I had to do it. It had to be done in this podcast.
I wanted to hear it. It's been a while.
Yeah. It's really funny watching you guys bounce at the same time.
And if you want to watch us bounce at the same time to music like that and other great hits from us, your people, then... you can watch us live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time at noodle.mx/live. That's every Monday night at 7 p.m. That's the new time, folks. And then the Audacity podcast is at 8:30 p.m. So like a half hour break between.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now let's get into the main thing.
Okay. You're not going to like hang me from a noose, right?
No.
Okay, not. Good.
That would be a cool feature, but maybe at the end. When Sergeant Packett comes back, if he comes back.
Oh, if let him try it.
If there's time for him to come back.
Let him try it. Just give me a reason, Sergeant. You're going down.
We have fun stories to tell you because you know what?
What?
Jenny and I got married.
No. Oh, boy. This is going to be good, I can tell.
Now I'm not sure whether it's your female voice or maybe
Jenny's female voice.
Yeah.
Am I being replaced?
Or maybe
by Dory the Fish.
By Dory.
Maybe Dory the Fish is being replaced by Jenny. Jenny the Fish.
Jenny could re-record that part.
See, I do such a good job.
No, what? Did you just make a sound with your mouth that was supposed to be someone collapsing on the floor or something?
Fish, yeah, collapsing fish. On top of a fish. Turtle shell. That's from Finding Nemo, in case you're wondering. So, let's see. Who's going to start with the wedding stories?
You should.
Okay.
Or I could start by saying we got up at 4:30 in the morning. There we go. I started.
On the wedding day. But before the wedding day, I want to back up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, can talk about your party.
Well, we talked about that last episode. In episode 50, we talked about the bachelor party and how much fun we had hanging out at Walmart. And, well, we didn't really talk about
McDonald's.
That too much. Yeah, McDonald's and the Italian restaurant where we bought burgers and the waitress that fell in love with Jeremy.
And the side of the road.
And the policeman.
And, yeah, and the policeman and the pot that Jeremy was smoking or someone was smoking.
Was not smoking. Didn't out. Have. Just go listen to the episode before you get more confused.
Yeah, that's from I get, like, the ramen noodle. TheRamenNoodle.com/50 was that episode. But this episode, 51...
It's not about that.
No, let's talk about the day after
the earth
that.
Stood still.
Well, the earth was going to stand still.
Was it?
And watch us get married.
Aww.
Yeah.
You and the earth are tight then.
No, Jenny and I are tight.
Okay.
The earth, you know. No, I don't know.
Well, the earth and I, yeah, we had a falling out.
That's right. No, wait, that doesn't make sense. Anyway, Friday was our rehearsal.
And that Friday was your rehearsal.
Yes, that Friday. But in preparation for the wedding, since we were going to have an outdoor wedding, in preparation for this, I can't remember, Jenny, was it you or your dad that came up with how to make the programs?
That was my dad, because they had gone to a wedding previously and stole that idea.
They go to
no
weddings
way.
And steal
yes.
things.
They're spies.
That's how they make their money. He goes into weddings and steals things. It's called Inception.
Okay.
It's called matrimony. No.
Okay.
It's called reception. Yeah, that's
reset. There you go, I guess. Would you like some coffee?
No. In preparing these, it was, what were they for the programs? What did we make?
They were fans.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fans. at our wedding.
It was a fan club.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because we decided that, or they got this idea that since it would be an outdoor wedding and it was possible that it could be warm, it would be nice for people to have fans, to be able to fan themselves. And so our programs were printed on the front and back of these fans. Mm-hmm. Part of that were, the fan was just paper glued to either side of a paint stick from Lowe's. Or, yeah, it was Lowe's.
It was Lowe's.
It's very important which store they were from.
Well, I was thinking, was it blue or was it orange? But it had blue print on it.
Oh, I see. Yes.
And I spray painted all of those. And in the process of spray painting them, which took a long time, trying to get them all and such,
he was throwing them up in the air and just spraying the spray paint can at them. Because he didn't have a surface that could get paint on it. So it took a long time to get all of them.
The house is now blue, and the dog is now blue, and Jenny's mom.
Your mom
is
now blue.
Episode title. Your mom is blue.
It's like three titles I've got now.
Oh, cool. You're keeping the log.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jenny came up with a good idea for me to wear gloves so my hands don't turn blue.
So your hands are not blue.
But yeah. His socks are blue.
But my socks and my legs were blue.
Oh, they really were.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Were you wearing socks? I thought you were... No, maybe your feet were blue.
I took off the socks. I took off my socks and my shoes, but my feet, yeah, and a little bit of my legs were blue.
Shade of blue.
That's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
But at least it was one of the wedding colors.
But they weren't cold. They weren't blue because they were cold. They were blue because they were painted.
Yeah, I wasn't getting cold feet. Was it wet feet? I always
It's not wet feet.
I always get it confused. Is it getting wet? I remember one time I just joked with Jenny, like I think we were talking on the phone and I was sitting out by the pool with my feet in the water, and I joked and I said, Jenny, you know what? This whole wedding thing, I think I'm just getting wet feet. She's just like
cricket.
Huh?
Cricket. What are you talking about?
You know? Getting wet feet. Ha ha. I'm sitting by the pool and I'm getting wet feet. I realize, oh.
You're like, wet feet isn't funny.
It's getting cold feet. That's what it is.
You should have been sitting there in the winter with your feet stuck out the window.
Yeah, in ice.
Yeah. Wrap them in ice and then stick them out in the winter air, you know.
And put salt on them, too.
Yes.
That helps the heat transfer faster. What else? Oh, making these fans was quite an adventure, too.
It was fun.
Jeremy, do you want to add to that story a little bit?
Well, which night was that?
That was the night before the wedding.
That was.
So it was you, me, and what did we call him last time? Joel.
Yeah, that's Joel. What we called him.
It was you, me, and Joel, two of my groomsmen,
mm-hmm.
and we were making fans.
With delightful rubber cement, which I hadn't had a lot of experience with previously, but we quickly became friends.
Like, they were making out by the time the night was over, and I'm like, seriously, Jeremy, before my wedding? Come on.
Well, no, that's not what happened. No, we used the rubber cement to put the fans together, but, you know, it got kind of fumey in there. We went through several cans or jars or whatever you want to call them of rubber cement. And, you know, it just made retelling the story about the cop just so much funnier.
It made every story so much funnier.
It did.
Stories now better with rubber cement.
Yeah, not that, you know, we condone...
rubber cement.
Right. it was just kind of in the air. We weren't breathing it on purpose, but it was there. And it was probably, you know, a little bit helpful to talking about said cop.
And the style of this.
Without stressing out over it.
Yeah. The style, each of us were doing it differently. You, me, and Joel.
That's true.
Were doing it differently. Joel and I are both artists, and except Joel is going a little bit more to the management side of things. as you'll be able to tell by the way that we each did things. I, as still a pure artist, would, and Joel, yes, that comment is for you because he listens to this.
Oh, does he?
Yes. When I was making the fans, what I would do is I would take the glue and I would very precisely put it around the sides. I would know exactly where I needed to put it on both sides of the paper to stick things together. And I put just the right amount and I'd kind of brush it on, kind of like a piece of art. I'd stick it together and every fan I made was handmade with love and care. Yes. So mine were like the collector's editions.
They, okay.
Yours were the cheap knockoffs.
Mine were the ones made by the kid that you got to help you. Well, more like the person who was just learning, which is why it was like a kid. I was, you know, I was learning. I was getting better. But at first, I just
Jeremy,
had no idea what I was
doing. Stop putting this rubber cement up your nose.
I was just going to say, maybe he was under the influence of rubber cement.
Yes.
I was making them. That's why.
That's right.
D-U-R-C.
Mine were the newbie editions. Mine were the rough drafts. The betas.
Slopped together.
No, they worked just fine. I just made more mistakes and was really, really slow because I was learning to use rubber cement and trying to resist the urge to fling it at you. That's not funny.
Well, and then her dad was there helping us by supervising the whole time.
Yes.
And I guess he didn't feel like working on it, or I guess, well, he had a big day.
We were dominating that rubber cement.
Yeah, so he just hung out with us and was supervising. And he was pointing out that during the wedding, as it gets hot and people would start using these fans more, we'd start seeing these fans flying and sticks flying, and we'd be able to know those are the ones that Jeremy made.
Yeah.
They're all slopped together.
I think I got one of the ones that I made, and it's not that bad.
How do you know you got one of the ones you made?
Well, because
did you sign every one of them?
I was putting glue a little too far down on the stick, so you can kind of see that.
Oh, okay.
If you look for it, it wasn't that obvious.
Okay. And then the guy we're calling Joel,
that guy,
set up a sweatshop.
Yes.
With child labor.
Well, actually, it was animal labor. He got several dogs to do it for him.
Mm-hmm.
So that Homeless was exciting. Puppies.
Yeah. He lined up all of his fans in a row and like his ducks in a row.
Yes. At least he didn't put the puppies in bags.
That's good.
And throw them into the river.
That's sad.
He had this little assembly line going so that he would like go.
It was amazing. He actually made that sound. I kind of said something to him about it, and he looked embarrassed, so
he
stopped asking.
All of the puppies to make that sound.
They just learned because they thought that was how it was supposed to be. Yeah, I wanted them to stop barking.
It was like 101 Dalmatians. Or the other song, All Dogs Go to Heaven, where it's like all of the puppies are sitting around and they're passing the pizza to each other and they're singing the song about sharing. And then the puppy brings out the chocolate cake and they all forget what they were doing about sharing and they all just crowd the chocolate cake. And that's what it was like with the rubber cement. We open a new jar of rubber cement and we're all like, rubber cement! And we crowd it and jump all over it.
So actually that is not an incredibly accurate description of the way quote Joel unquote was going about this. It was more like he was mass producing them somehow. He was laying out at least three at a time, gluing. He had a whole system worked out. He was flying. It was kind of amazing.
Yeah.
It was kind of what I had intended to do until I figured out I didn't know how to use rubber cement.
He's part Chinese. That's why he was able to make it so fast, like a factory thing. Because then whenever he made things, he put a little sticker on it that said, made by Chinese.
Wow, you're offensive. He means, of course, that the citizens of China are known for their ability to produce a lot of
everything, things.
That's all he means. He means nice things.
Yes.
Don't hate us.
China, we like you.
Don't hack our website.
Go to hackmywebsite.com.
Yes. No.
It's made by the creators of pleaserobme.com.
I was so sure you were going to say it was made by the Chinese.
No. I did too.
Oh my goodness.
So then I think coming into actually the wedding day, or maybe you have, Jenny, something to share from the night before the wedding? Or do you want to jump to the wedding morning?
Yeah, I probably want to jump to the wedding morning.
Okay. You don't really remember.
I don't really want to talk about that party.
If you know what she means.
What? I think that just made it sound a lot worse than what she actually meant.
I was kidnapped. We'll say that much.
Okay, so wedding day.
Yeah.
Wedding day.
Pretty early. We got there. Actually, I was there because it was at my house. My parents' house.
Not the wedding, but...
The wedding day.
The wedding prep.
Wedding prep started at 4:30 in the morning. We have lots of pictures of groggy people.
Isn't that about when we went to bed?
That's when you went to bed.
Oh, yeah.
I went to bed about 2:30 or 3. Yeah.
Cricket. That's all I have to share.
Oh, well, on...
Nothing funny happened.
Well, on the wedding day, you shared something funny with me on the wedding day. And we actually have pictures of your sharing it with me.
Oh, you know what? I never did share it with you.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh.
But we have pictures of it.
We have a picture of me, like, saying... Oh, I have a funny story to tell you, but later I forgot what the funny story was.
And save it for the podcast.
Even now, I don't remember. What did you say?
I said, save it for the podcast.
Oh.
And the show notes for last week kind of made it seem like we were married in a bathroom, which we were close to being married in a bathroom.
What?
We got married next to a lake.
Oh.
What does that have to do with a bathroom?
Lake, bathroom.
I don't confuse the two. I don't know what you've been doing, but I'm not swimming in a lake.
After me?
No.
Yes. Just make sure you're always in front of me, like by a good distance.
And if you feel something warm, swim really fast.
Swim away. Is that guy why you guys walked down into the lake?
No, that's not why.
Yeah, we got our pictures after the wedding, just Jenny and I standing in the lake. Yeah. She's in her wedding dress, I'm in my suit.
That was refreshing.
So on the wedding day, there were a lot of things that we were nervous about with the wedding coming up. And one of the things, I don't have too much to share about the ceremony. I was a little bit distracted, but there was this funny spot. I composed Jenny's processional. So the bridesmaids are coming out to this processional, and then my little brother and one of Jenny's cousins is the ring bearer and flower girl, respectively. And they're at the back, and like all the bridesmaids have come up, and the matron of honor has come up, and then my little brother and the flower girl are supposed to come up. And they're just standing in the back. And my little brother is all smiling really big. He's so proud to be the ring bearer. In fact, like the night before when my parents just introduced, the pastor had everyone introduce who they are, how they're related to us and such. And when my dad just said, this is my wife, and these are my kids. And then my little brother just says, and I'm the ring bearer. He was so proud of his role. Well, they're standing in the back. Standing in the back.
Well, the wedding planner was supposed to cue them.
Yeah.
But she walked away to cue me.
Yes. And not only was she supposed to, well, she was going to cue you.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to cue our mothers for when our mothers would stand up to signal for the rest of the crowd to stand up.
There was a lot of cueing going on.
Yeah. It was like dominoes, really.
So with the music, I needed to cue the mothers for them to know when to stand up.
Cue so I told the them, mothers.
I told them, I will look at you. I will signal you when it's time for you to stand up. So you don't have to worry about trying to remember the exact spot. I will signal you for when to stand up. But what happened is my little brother and the flower girl weren't walking up from the back. So I was like trying to get my little brother's attention and like, come on, come on. You're supposed to be walking. Come on, come on. And then Jenny's mom sees me and she's like, oh, do I stand up now? And she's like doing this with her face. I read that in her face. I'm like, no, no, don't, not you stand up.
That's but then it's what
like,
was going on.
It's like, little brother, yeah, you come. No, no, don't stand up. Yeah, you come. No, don't stand
And he just started directing as though he were a conductor of an orchestra. His arms started flailing about. It was really quite impressive. But really? Not really.
No.
Oh. I was like, I didn't see any of this.
So then they finally did come up. And it's funny that while they're coming up, my little brother is the type that he loves to help people and tell people how they can do things better or tell people about things. And while they're walking up, the flower girl, something about the way she was dropping the petals wasn't totally acceptable to my little brother. So while they're walking up, I see him like trying to whisper to her saying like, you missed a spot, or I don't know what was it whispering. But I saw him like kind of pointing a little bit at something and saying,
are there any pictures of that?
That's great.
No, not really. But the picture of them coming up the aisle didn't really turn out because I think the photographer was caught off guard because of that long gap of room there, but it worked out. What I was worried about is that they like wouldn't start walking until your theme actually started when you come out. Oh. It's like, but no, it worked out.
I thought you were gonna say that the ring bearer reached into the basket to show her how to do
the Here, let me help you with that.
Let me demonstrate with the rings.
No.
How to throw the pedal. But
he did really carry the rings. Because I hate it. I think it's pointless to have a ring bearer if he's not actually bearing the rings.
That's true.
Yeah. So, and he's old enough that I knew I could trust him. And I asked him, can I trust you with the rings? And he doesn't know how to sell things on eBay yet. So
that's good. It was okay. Yeah, that's good.
So the wedding, we have the reception, the garter, which that's... Jeremy, you were notably absent from trying to catch the garter.
I was.
I started looking around and I started going, huh, apparently everybody at this wedding is married. Because there are no, I didn't feel like shaming myself that way. Like, look, everybody, I'm one of the only single guys in the world.
Well, there are other people, yeah, guys. You
know, the guy that caught it ended up, he's I think 20-ish, around 20. So he caught it. But when I fired the garter, I like launched
fired
it like
the garter.
He really did.
I lit it on fire.
The flaming garter.
When I fired it, I held it like a rubber band and I pointed it backwards. I shot it like a rubber band. And I turned quickly around to see what happened then afterward. And this older guy, this 20-ish guy. And some other kid dove after it. Like they fought for it. And same thing with the girls over there.
I was so surprised. Like they were really enthusiastic about catching stuff.
There's a picture of the girls that looks like someone should have been injured.
We could
clawed.
It looks that way. Yeah, it looks like they're falling through the chairs over the chairs, but that's just the camera angle. And
then the next picture, she's just standing there with a smile on her face,
holding
a
black eye. So proud.
Yeah, and then let's see, reception, all of that, getting ready to leave.
Didn't share anything about the unity candle.
Yes. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. We decided to do something different. Instead of lighting a candle, because you know, you blow a candle out and then like can't enjoy the symbolism for very long. So we decided to have two things of wax like taken up by the mothers and put up on the table.
Just raw wax.
Yeah, just wax pieces.
Mm-hmm. Pellets.
Yeah.
Sand. Kind of like what's in the burgers.
It looked like sand. Nice.
Softer stuff.
Oh, gosh. But that was my train of thought.
So they pulled the wax up, or they brought it up with them.
Oh, yeah. And when it was time for us to go up and do the unity ceremony, we would take the different jars of wax and pour them into this one jar. And the jar that we poured it into was sitting on a heater, like a little warmer. So, like, during the rest of the ceremony, it was melting and making a candle. Ta-da.
And that's how we had hoped it would go, is very seamless like that.
There but was, it didn't.
There was something I was a little concerned about, a little, because this was going to be an outdoor wedding, and we've got wax pellets up there.
Up there, meaning in your nose. At the, yeah.
At the
yes,
altar.
We blew them into the...
Yeah, this like...
That's a gross thought.
I now pronounce you man and wife. You may now sneeze the bride or sniff. Sniff
wife, or whatever.
No, that didn't work out. the wax, this wax that was supposed to be able to be poured just like sand. Had melted partially.
Well,
it was hot outside.
It got sticky.
A little. It was in the sun.
Yeah.
So, you like end up tapping. We both were tapping. Like, would you have a jar? No, I can't do the sound.
It was just tap, tap, like.
Yeah.
Like you would knock on a door.
Or on somebody's head.
Yeah. Kind of, yes. Except with less fish.
If you would do that. Yeah, from where I was standing, I couldn't really see what was happening, just that you guys were having trouble, and I was worried that none of it was coming out at all, and you guys were over there for a good couple minutes.
Started like that nothing was coming out until we started knocking on it. Mm-hmm. And the picture of us is funny because you can actually see I've got my knuckle curled in a way so that I can knock on the jar and I'm trying to get this out and I'm like trying to prevent laughing because it's
we were laughing anyway.
Yeah, I was trying to prevent laughing. Another title. So yeah
beautiful idea though.
It was from
my beautiful bride.
And it worked, actually.
It did end up working. It's best to do an indoor wedding, but it worked for outdoor, too.
I don't know. We can ask somebody who did it indoors.
As we, fast forward to leaving. Jeremy.
What?
You take the story from here. What happened as we were getting ready to leave?
I'm not sure what part you're referencing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You were drunk. I got stuck in my dress.
What?
I got stuck.
I wasn't there for that.
I wasn't no, there. Wasn't.
I was just standing there in the hallway waiting for someone to help me out of my dress.
Moving on. So as we were leaving...
Until suddenly Daniel came and explained, no, this isn't the best place.
As we were leaving the place... I keep discovering things that we need taken out to the car, like a bag, my change of clothes, my suit, and
my
all
four
of
bags.
Stuff.
Yeah, yes, I went and got bags. A lot of Jenny's stuff. And on the way out, everybody had been lined up for a very long time waiting for them to leave. And they got tired of waiting. And as I came out with all of Jenny's luggage, they cheered and they threw rice on me. It was kind of amazing.
They were waiting so long because I was waiting on someone. So that's why they waited so long.
And they kind of were a little premature in lining up, I think. And it's all about you guys at that point.
When I first heard them, because I heard the cheers and I heard the salt, the birdseed being thrown. When I first heard that, my immediate thought was, wait, that's the wrong people. You just thought they like, it's one of those like crowd things where if no one can see what's going on, they start cheering. And, you know, one person starts cheering, everybody cheers and no one knows what they're cheering about.
That's awesome.
I thought maybe that's what happened is someone threw rice and like it was the rice that was heard around the world.
Yes.
Birdseed.
Birdseed. I can never remember which it is because neither one is actually harmful to the birds.
Rice? Rice is harmful to the birds?
Is not.
Let's try it.
No.
Oh, okay.
We'll kill the birds.
For the birds.
The birds.
Okay. I had very carefully made sure that I kept the only key to the car on my person during the wedding. That means in my pocket.
I was going to say, you have a person?
Yeah. I keep him in my pocket and I put the key on top of his head. And then I wanted an avocado.
I knew it.
Go there. Look up. Well, check the show notes at theramennoodle.com /51 and look under the spot where it says avocado butt. And
it's a great song. Man. Oh, it's a great song. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Great song. Anyway. Good times.
Good times.
But I had to give you a key in order to take stuff out to the car because I realized you're my best man. I need to make you work for it. And so, so you took our stuff out to the car. I gave you the key. And sure enough, the decorations that were originally on the outside of the car ended up all over on the inside of the car,
yeah,
too. Thankfully, it was simple stuff.
We kept the messy stuff out,
yeah,
as best we could.
Yeah.
I did hear that some messy stuff did get in the car.
Yes. Yeah. One of your aunts apparently got past the guard, who we'll call Joel.
Okay. Is this the same Joel?
Yeah, yes, okay. Yes. But he chased her off. It was just on the front seats, and
we
cleaned it out before you walked out.
Good, thanks. You're a good best man.
Aw, thanks. You're a good groom.
I'll never be one again.
Ha ha.
Or I mean, I'll be one for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you will.
I'm not sure how that works. Anyway, so we left and then drove. The stuff is all just sitting on the car, so we couldn't really drive far without getting pulled over by a cop. And he asked, what have you been smoking? No.
Yeah, which is, it's a popular spot for them.
So we had to just pull over about a block away and get the stuff off the car and then keep on driving.
Keep on driving.
Well, our intentions were to drive to our honeymoon location about 7 hours away. Yeesh. And remember, I rode the bus down to the wedding so that we could drive Jenny's car back so we wouldn't have to have two cars. We'd just have the one. So I'm driving the car, and we've been in the car for about an hour and a half. Still got 6 or 7 hours to go, about 6 hours of driving left to go. I've just got on cruise control, and we're driving along. And the week of the wedding, I've had Jenny's car, and I was driving it, and I noticed that the oil light was on.
Uh-oh.
And now, I'm a mystery shopper, so I get my oil changes for free. I get paid to do an oil change for cars, not my personal oil.
Just when you think that you might know where a story is going, now, I'm a mystery shopper, so I was able to identify an oil light.
Take special training. I had seen this light, but I thought, well, I don't want to pay for an oil change while we're here. I had a hard enough time paying for a car wash the day of the wedding, but I thought, you know, this is something special, so I'll wash the car, get it washed.
But not put oil in it.
No, apparently not. But there was a sticker in the upper left corner, like they place at oil shops, on the windshield, and it said how many miles it needed the oil change. And I looked at that, looked at how many miles the car had gone, and had thought, we're okay, we'll get back home, I'll get an oil change then. Because it wasn't that far past the number. You know, normally they put that number only 3,000 miles away. But you can drive up to 5,000 miles or sometimes more without changing the oil in most cars, perhaps, as long as the car is working. Well, what happened as we're driving along is the oil light is been lit up. I've noticed some odd handlings of the car, and I'm just thinking, oh, I need to get checked, because her brother had mentioned stuff about he had to get certain things fixed about the car.
He'd actually told us to sell the car.
Yeah. We should have taken him up on that.
Yes, we should have.
So as we're driving, the car just loses acceleration. It doesn't like smack stop in the middle of the road. It just loses acceleration.
We're going
like
up a hill on cruise control.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, the cruise control must have died or something, so I tried pressing the gas. Nothing. And stupid me, I start pressing on the gas, on the brakes, to kind of slow over, pull over to the side, but then I realized, wait, I don't want to be stuck in the middle of nowhere, so I better coast as far as we can. So that way, hopefully, I'm near an exit. We didn't run out of gasoline, okay? I'm not that stupid.
So if you've ever run out of gas...
you're stupid. Or you're clumsy, like McGinnis is clumsy. Or stupid. But that's what she said. That's...
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Anyway.
The car slows to a stop, and the lights on the dashboard are lighting up like Christmas tree. And I pull out my present for Jenny, and, you know, we start singing Christmas songs because it's Christmas. I know. So I do what every self-respecting person driving a car does when the car stops. I get out.
And smash it with a hammer.
Didn't work.
Well, you didn't mention that we coasted almost past. Okay, sorry.
We came to the stop, and I opened the hood, and, you know, I look at the engine. It's still there.
Good.
Nothing's on fire. No belts are missing.
Everything is fine. Nothing is broken.
The transmission fluid was there.
Nothing fell off.
Yeah, everything seemed okay. And, you know, I've told the story before of when the caravan that I once drove blew a rod, and I looked for the missing part along the highway and thought I could put it back.
Yeah. Well,
nothing like that this time. I looked. There were no cracks, no holes, nothing like that. Nothing on fire. No kittens in the engine or anything like that.
Puppies?
No puppies either.
Okay, good.
Oh, that's good.
The car completely dead. I couldn't turn it on. I thought maybe the alternator was bad, which is a car part. But just in case.
Which is a car part?
I don't want to insult the intelligence of our listeners any more than I already have.
I thought maybe the alternator was dead, which is a person back in the office.
This is Joe. We call him the alternator. He has his own iPhone app and he's on TV.
And if he ever dies, all your cars will stop working.
Because he alternates them. No, I couldn't make the car work, and I thought, whatever. Now,
I'm sure that was not what you thought.
Yeah, true. We're on the way to our honeymoon, and I am really upset at this.
Whatever was probably the last thing on his mind.
Now, I don't get angry, and I didn't get like really angry that day either. But I was upset, flustered, because I was thinking, man, this is going to take time and all of this stuff. And I know you're writing down an episode title. I can see you doing that.
No, I'm writing down a new life goal.
Oh, okay.
Make Daniel angry.
You, my friend, have gotten closer than anyone else.
Sweet.
Praise God. We ended up stopping right in front of an auto repair shop. It was right there. Like, this is the interstate. We're out in the middle of nowhere on this interstate. Literally, it looks like out in the middle of nowhere. I think I saw a sign for it that said nowhere.
I was going to ask if there was a sign.
There was a fence in the median.
Yeah. And then this auto repair shop right next to a body repair shop.
Like over the fence.
Car body, yeah.
I was going to say, so if you had damaged your own person, the one in your pocket with the key on his head.
If I damaged my alternator in the back trunk, then I could get him repaired.
You took the alternator in the trunk?
Anyway. So we hop the fence or climb the fence, which this is a barbed wire fence.
Very hard to do in a dress, which I was wearing.
Wow.
Yeah, and I didn't want Jenny to get scraped or cut or anything, so I very carefully tried to help her over this. And
he did a good job.
Yeah.
Whoop!
Yes, he threw her over the fence.
I didn't get any cuts, but I got a few bruises.
Someone over there, catch!
Oh, crap, middle of nowhere.
Hey, people at the body shop, catch!
I took her to the body shop.
So we walked up to this auto repair shop, and I thought this would be kind of funny to say, to walk in and say, "Hi, my car broke down right there. Can you fix it?" The body shop is closed. So praise God it was there, but unfortunately, because we live in a sin-cursed world, it was closed on a Saturday.
That's right.
So we sit in the parking lot trying to figure out what to do. And
You were sitting.
Yeah.
I was laying down. I fell asleep.
Every now and then, though, we had to move.
Because of the ants.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. And this is an amazing honeymoon.
Especially there were a lot of ants. One time when I bent over, I think I dropped something and I bent over. All of this bird seed spilled out of my pocket. It was still there.
It was startling. It was funny, though. Yeah.
I have a picture of you walking out and you have a piece of that bird seed in your ear. Very clearly sitting in your ear.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, lots of it sitting on top of his head.
So we're there and they're closed. So I get on my BlackBerry and start looking up on Google Maps auto repair shops. Everyone is closed, but then I realize Google Maps application actually says when they're open and their hours.
Oh.
So I was able to just quickly look through the list and see who's open right now. No one was open because it was a Saturday.
On the iPhone, there's an app to actually open the body shops for you. Whoa,
that's cool. Ooh. I need an iPhone then.
Mm-hmm.
Next time that happens. But really cool, though. The guy that, I guess, owns the auto repair shop or works there or something drove up and he asked us what was going on. And he said, here, let me give you the phone number of someone who can probably help you with that.
The cops or thanks. Some neighbor called him and said, yeah, there's this couple in your parking lot and it looks like one of them is asleep.
Yes. She was.
Drunk in the parking lot. Yeah, we just got back from our wedding and we're just like, this is the nice hotel. Can we stay here?
We like the ants.
Oh, no. We did not like the ants.
Feed the ants. Tuppence a seed. Anyway. He gives us the phone number for a guy that is willing to, or the guy that he recommends for towing, yeah, the car. And I finally find Firestone that is open on Saturday. They're the only place open. But they transfer me around. They tell me to call all of these different places. They start jumping me around. They can't figure out who's closest to me. And finally, one of the guys, because it was the third or fourth time I talked to him, he just said, look, I'll take care of this for you. I'll figure out which store is closest to you, and I'll have them call you or tell you who to call. Ghostbusters.
I'll tell you where to go.
So oh, sorry. He helped us out. And then we got towed over to the place. The guy that was towing the truck was really interesting. He was like happy for us being married. And then he told us like his weird marriage stories, divorce story, and how he approaches relationships. And
interesting.
Yeah. The way he was describing himself and his personality and the way he thinks, I was thinking, it's no wonder it didn't work out for you. Of course, what would I know, you know, been married for 2 hours at that point, maybe 2 or 3 hours, working great so far, you know, right. Through thick and thin, good times and bad, richer and poorer.
It's pretty awesome that you had good times and bad all in like 2 hours.
Yeah. I had to go into marital counseling right away. No, we did okay. We
looked to the end.
Yeah, that's what Jenny said to me is, look to the ant, you sluggard.
No.
Consider the ant. We finally get to Firestone, and they start checking the engine, and then they tell us, when's the last time you changed the oil? I told them, well, I was planning to do it when we got back home, because it looked like it wasn't too far past when it needed to be changed anyway. So
too far.
Yeah. But then they showed me it was completely dry of oil. The engine had seized up. It wouldn't. The engine wouldn't move anymore. And I, in my amateurness, I just said, "Could you just put some more oil in it and nice. It worked again?"
Nice.
And the guys are like, "No, you need a new engine, buddy."
Wow.
So we start trying to figure out how are we going to do this and manage all of this, and this is all happening like on our way to our honeymoon, and I'm thinking, originally I thought we're going to get back to our honeymoon location at a reasonable time, be able to have a nice dinner and relax and everything. It'll be nice and comforting and relaxing after this big, stressful day. Not the case. the day got just all the more stressful. At the auto repair shop, we end up being there until like past the time they close because I'm trying to figure out what to do. My phone is almost dead and Jenny's phone is dying too. And I'm calling places and trying to find a rental car. Being Saturday, most of the rental car places are closed.
Really?
Being that we want to take the car one way, most of the rental places that were open, or all of them that were open, wouldn't let us do that, except a place at a local airport.
Like, you can't take our cars. We're a rental company.
We want it back. That's the way they talk down there.
That's your standard Southern.
We got a taxi to take us to.
We got attacked.
To take us to the airport where we rented a car. Now, here's something funny, is that when we... just before we left the honeymoon for the honeymoon, my parents came and they said, we want you to have a nice honeymoon. Here's an envelope. And they gave us an envelope with lots of cash on the inside. They said, we want you to enjoy your honeymoon. Your funny moon. So they give us this envelope with all of this cash and like, I could feel how thick it was and see like one of the bills in it. And we could just tell that it was a lot. And I'm like, oh, thanks. Yeah, we will enjoy our honeymoon a lot more now.
Turns out there's like a 20 and a bunch of newspaper strips.
It's all $1 bills with little zeros added after them.
Monopoly money.
Yes. It's from your brother.
And when we rented the car, it was $36 more than my parents had given me.
Wow.
Yeah. It was expensive, though. It was the cheapest one they would let us take somewhere else, take it one way. But it was still quite expensive.
Wow.
We finally get it. We're on our way to the honeymoon. As we're couple hours away.
May I just say that it was really funny to see me, like, I guess, because I could see me because I'm me, but like out there in the airport, like right beside the entrance with all this luggage. Like, people were looking at, oh, and I have my hermit crabs too.
Yeah. That's
right. So they were all looking at me and, you know,
like, are you like gonna two people take came by plane? And looked at
my hermit crabs.
Oh, yeah. And being a hot, sunny day. When we went to the auto repair shop, at one point we realized
hermit crabs.
The hermit crabs are still in the car.
Yeah, so we checked for them to be dead. Yeah, but they were still alive.
We checked for them to be dead. Were you hoping?
No, I was hoping they'd be alive, which they survived.
Okay.
And I was thinking that, hey, they might be having a vacation. They've been so cold lately, and now they're going to be like, whoa, this is heat wave. We love it.
Daniel doesn't know much about hermit crabs.
Yeah,
I don't. I just want to know if they can sing our new theme song.
Maybe.
Okay, good.
But maybe not.
Oh.
So that's why we need listeners to sing our theme song for us.
That's right. Be our hermit crabs.
Feedback at noodle.me. So we get our rental car. We load everything into it. And we're on the way to the honeymoon location again. Many, many hours later. By this time, I'm realizing we're not going to get there until 1 o'clock in the morning. So much for a nice, relaxing evening and relaxing dinner and all of this. It's rush, 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 and all the stress of everything. So we're driving a couple hours away. I have a thought.
Wow, you had a thought?
I realize that I haven't received the information to unlock where we're staying at the honeymoon. Because it's not like we check in and get a key.
Were you staying in a bank vault?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It was the safest place. Yeah, that's what my parents gave me the cash there for. They're like, hey, can you deposit this while you're there? No deposit, no return. We are on the way. and we're supposed to receive a code. It's a key code that unlocks the honeymoon location. And we're supposed to receive this via email. And while we're driving, I'm on my BlackBerry, finally able to charge it again, and being in the car. And I'm looking through my emails, trying to find a message with a code. And I find all these messages that say, you'll receive your code a couple days or within the week before you arrive. And all of this. And I see this email that was sent just a couple days before we were scheduled to arrive. And it just said, thank you for renting from us. And it's like, great. Where's the code?
You sent nasty replies to each and every email.
Yeah, almost. I looked up on my phone. I looked up every single email address that was sent from this location. Every phone number. I called every number. I emailed all of them. I said, this is an emergency. I'm on my way. I have my wife with me. We're on the way to the honeymoon. I don't know how I'm going to get into this place. And as we're getting closer and closer to the destination, I'm starting to look at hotels thinking, am I going to need to stay there? I'm going to need to stay there. But the closer we get, I'm seeing no vacancy signs. Mm. The hotels were all taken.
See, I was sleeping. I had no idea this was happening.
I was getting really nervous. I was actually thinking, are we going to have to sleep in the car?
Or a stable?
Yeah. Suddenly we had a baby. So we wrapped him in swaddling clothes.
No, we did not have a baby.
Let's be clear.
We get there, and I've called every number I could find, emailed everyone I could find, no codes. We get to the location where they say we're supposed to check in, and there's a cabin there thing where it's like this fancy-looking check-in place. And we walk up, or I walk up to the door, and of course it's closed and locked, and no one's there. I kind of knock on it, ring the doorbell. Mm-hmm. There's this little box where it says late check-ins. And that's where stuff would be. I open it up.
And nothing. That's us.
There was nothing in there. And so I look. I wonder if maybe someone lives in this place. And I listen. I put my ear up against the door. And I can hear music coming from the inside. So I think, oh, we're in luck. Someone lives here. Someone is here. And they must be watching TV or...
I'm in the car.
Yeah.
And there is, I hear nothing except I'm watching Daniel bang this door. Really? He was really banging the door.
I got progressively louder and louder and louder because I thought, I don't want to wake up everybody. But then by the time no one was answering,
I thought, waiting for him to throw himself into the door.
I almost. Really?
Was it continuous? Like you were just like, knock, 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 knock.
No. Oh. It was banging.
Yeah. Oh, so well, faster.
He was banging with his fist.
I was even like pounding on the ground and banging with my fist. Absolute
I thought he was going to break in because he'd go over the window and look in and look in their mailbox thing.
They're and then calling the police and grandma's having a heart attack. Yeah. And
so let me tell you though. What I heard was just the radio that they leave on in the little room.
Yeah.
No one was there.
Oh my god.
But there was a phone number that said, like, for emergencies, call this number. Like,
please don't bang on the door. Call this number.
So I thought this is an emergency. I've got to call. So I called the number many times, left a message. I'm like, hi. Here on my honeymoon, we're supposed to be in our cabin. But it wasn't quite like that.
I hope not.
And we finally got a call back. And the lady was like, let me look it up for you. She was a little bit sleepy. I could tell in her voice. And so she looked it up and then called us back with the directions to where we needed to go and the code to unlock it and all of that. Told us what room and everything. So we finally get there. We finally arrived. And we just crash. Because I think it was 2:00 in the morning by the time we got there. Like 7 hours after I had intended for us to arrive.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's enough time to have driven back.
But then the rest of the honeymoon was absolutely beautiful and fun.
We had a huddle house.
Yes. Which is which is like a Waffle House, not a brothel. But it's like a Waffle House.
I've never thought of Huddle House as a brothel.
For some reason, it sounds like a brothel to me.
Does anyone else in the world think that it's a brothel?
Which was great. Hilarious for me when I visited your family like the first time and they talked about maybe going out to the Huddle House.
I don't know why you would think that, though.
I don't know. It sounds like a brothel.
I wonder, does anyone in the chat room, when you hear the Huddle House, do you think that it's a brothel?
Winnie says, no, Daniel's weird.
Thank you.
This, we know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But Waffle House, on the other hand.
Yeah, that's
definitely a brothel.
Oh, he thinks football. King Skrull thinks that it sounds like football.
So that was our wedding day. Good times, good woot. Memories, good stories to tell.
Woot woot. And you're married.
Yeah. That's, and still married, too.
At the end of the day.
Oh, we were still married. Literally. As much as I hate that phrase.
You got your groom's
kiss. There's a podcast that I want to call the End of the Day podcast because they say it so much in there.
Really?
Yeah, they okay. do. Okay. Seriously, I could count how many times they say it. You say anything at once.
That's right. And it can be counted. You can be counted, yeah.
So, speaking of being counted, do you listeners want to be counted as amazingly incredible people? Then send us feedback to feedback@noodle.mx. Be part of the new theme song and call in your feedback and stories and everything to 859-353-4332. And lacking a proper theme, I'm just going to play...
Did you just turn me down? No, I was turning
the music. Okay. You can go ahead. You can keep doing that if you want.
No, it's okay. I'm done.
So be sure to follow us. Tell your friends about the podcast. On Twitter, I'm the Ramen Noodle. Jeremy is Phlegon.
Phlegon.
Yeah. So next time. Life makes you feel like an amateur. Keep laughing, because you're not the only one. No, I'm not. I am so lonely. I'm very happily married. I have nobody. I have someone wonderful now. And she's all mine.
And little character gags.
And she doesn't make me choke.